In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for being here in your house. We thank you for giving us all the chances to get closer more and more to you. Give us to be united with you, Lord, by every and any chance. Through your word, through your body and blood, and through your Holy Spirit, Lord, being united with you all the time. Because this is our goal, Lord, during Lent. Give us during this time to grow in you day after day. Let your love, Lord, grow in our heart, that we may understand your love and we may love you more and more. Give us, Lord, to discover things from your word, which is full of life and truth. And give us to appreciate your words, Lord, the Bible that you've given us. Enlighten our heart, Lord, before our minds, to be close to your words, Lord, and to grow in them. I pray that every and each one who's attending and all your people, Lord, get to know your word more and more, and know you in more depth. We pray this, that you lead our Bible study and you speak to us, Lord, through the intercession prayers of our Holy Mother, St. Mary, St. Mark, and all your saints. Hear us, Lord, when we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, and the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. I hope you have the outline with you. The past couple of weeks, we spoke about some truth from our faith about Christ as the Son of God, and who did he claim to be. And we spoke about the resurrection, is it fact or not? And a lot of resources that we used is from the Bible. And as you know, that the movie The Passion of the Christ made a big movement. And of course, a lot of people would be entitled to faith and to believe if they believe that what was written and what happened is the truth. How do we know that the Bible we have is the Word of God? How do we know? A lot of things, a lot of claims come from the Bible. And we trust the Bible, we memorize the Bible, we live by the Bible, we wait for the promises from the Word of God. We're under the authority of the Word of God, but how do we know that this is the real Word of God? This is the real Bible that was written, that was there 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, and the Old Testament even more than that. We will discuss that in two parts. Today is the first part, and next time will be the second part. Today we will speak about two things: the uniqueness of the Bible, and the second item is how we got the Bible. Okay, so this is the two items today, and next time we will speak about more depth and more details about scientific issues and history facts about the Bible, the manuscripts, and the documents that proves that the Bible we have now is the same Bible that used to be there 2,000 years ago. First of all, if the Bible is the Word of God, then it has to be very distinguished amongst all books. Exactly like Christ, who is the Son of God, was distinguished amongst all the prophets, all the human beings. Christ was born of a virgin. He was the only one who raised people and raised himself by his own power, who did miracles, who preached, who spoke with authority, who lived a sinless life. So he was unique. And usually, whenever anything in existence that's only unique, there is only one kind of it in the universe, most probably that thing belongs to God. If something is extremely unique, is extremely different than anything else and above anything else, then it must be something from God. So let's discuss some facts about the Bible that makes it extremely unique, other than any book in history or other any documentary thing in existence. Number one, the Bible is unique in its continuity. In order to understand this item, you have to read the Bible from the beginning to end. And you'll be surprised that the Bible from the beginning, from Genesis to Revelation, is all one unity, and it's as written by one person. Even though, see some facts about how the Bible was written. First of all, the Bible was written over 1500 years of span. Imagine, like from the first book, the oldest book, to the latest book. That's a long period of time. Sometimes from generation to generation, things change. Mentality change. The way of writing change. Can we write the same way Shakespeare wrote? Of course not. You know, you see the old English and the new English, and you know, some books you can read, some books you cannot read. The mentality, it's unbelievable. But the Bible was written over 1500 years span, and it's united, it's the same, it's have one theme. The Bible is written by more than 40 authors from different backgrounds. How can you have a book that's connected together, that's saying the same thing, having 40 people share in the writing of this book? And based on a theory of inspiration that we believe in, the Orthodox Church believe in, that God used people, but God used their personality. Like David's personality was in his writings. Paul's personality was in his writings. Yes, the Holy Spirit was the main moderator over all, but their own, they put their own writings, their own soul and spirit within the words they wrote. And yet, the Bible still is one entity connected together. You don't feel that it's 40 different books. These people who wrote the books, some of them were kings like David, military people, military leaders, philosophers, like Solomon or St. Paul, or musicians, or shepherds, or fishermen. Completely different backgrounds, and yet the Bible is connected together, united. It's written in different places. in many countries, not only in one place, in different backgrounds. It's written in different times, sometimes times of war, sometimes in peace. And you know, someone who's depressed and someone who's happy, it's completely different things, different moods, the joy, the despair, the confusion. You know, Jeremiah, you feel that he's so depressed because of what the people of Israel did and how they were not listening to him. And you find the most joyous things in the book of Psalms. And yet it's still one. It's written in three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe, different places, in three languages. Most of the Old Testament, like 95% of the Old Testament, was written in Hebrew. A few of them was in Aramaic language, the same language that Jesus spoke. You know, when the Jews went to the exile, then they spoke the language that they speak in Babylon, and this area was the Aramaic language. and the book of Daniel and Esther. Some few books are written in Aramaic language, and all the New Testament is written in Greek language. Sometimes when you have one book and you translate it to other language, it loses the meaning and it becomes completely different meaning, and it's not the same. We tried that in Agbaya and some church books, and it's hard. And yet the Bible is translated and it kept its theme and its unity very well. It's written in a wide variety of literary styles, like poetry, history, law, personal correspondence, letters, prophecies, parables, allegory, you know, things like this. And still, even though they're completely different in their style, the Bible is still the same. The Bible is the most unique book of addressing hundreds of controversial subjects. Many, many subjects and different ones, from marriage to parenting to all aspects of life. It's all in one book. And still, you know, the miraculous thing that it's keeping one theme, which is God's redemption for mankind throughout all of these differences. Not only it's keeping one theme, but it's keeping one leading character throughout the entire Bible, Old Testament and the New Testament. It's the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lots of prophecies in the Old Testament, lots of referrals, lots of preparation in the Old Testament to the person of Christ and His coming. And in the New Testament is the fulfilling of these prophecies and the continuation in an amazing way. A leading character of the entire book. It's very hard to get all these variables together in one book, and it will be the most famous and the most popular and the most distributed book all over the world. It's different. It's exactly like Christ, who made a split in history before Christ and after Christ, same as the Bible. You could barely find a bestseller book that distributes 1 million copies. Very hard, very rare to find a book that sold 10 million copies. The Bible was distributed all over the world in billions of copies. And I can't tell you how many billion copies of the Bible were distributed around the world. It's not even close to any other book in the world. As a kind of statistics, you know, there is a scripture union around the world. The publishers who do the Bibles all over the world, they have something called the United Society of Scripture or the Bible. So in 1 year, in 1998, they calculated how many whole Bibles or parts of the Bible were distributed in 1 year. And it was 585 million copies just in 1 year. You know, we're not saying billions of copies all over the years and years, it's just in 1 year. What other kind of book is this way? Translations. There's no other book in history, or there will never be a book that's translated to 2,200 languages, and not even languages.
Dialects.
Languages and dialects, slang and regular languages and funny languages, all kinds of languages the Bible was translated to. I can't believe that there is that many languages, which the 2,200 languages cover about 90% of the population of the world. If the Bible was not the Word of God, it would not have survived all the persecutions and all the problems that the Bible faced from many, many, many years. You know that before printing in the 15th and 16th century, how would people copy the Bible? Handwritings. And they can't have as many copies as we have now. Like, for example, the king Constantine, you know, he was a Christian king, and after the Nicaea's council, and after him being a king and a Christian king, he wanted the Bible to be published in many copies to be distributed around. How many copies he could afford, or he ordered to be copied? 50. So 50 copies back then was something big, you know, a lot. People go to church to listen to the word of God there. Not everyone can afford the Bible. What I'm trying to say is, if they had that few copies back then it was very easy for the Bible to be completely destroyed and lost. Like, a big church would have, you know, and the church would not have the complete set of the Bible, just the parts that they need to use or read. And people would come and would listen and try to memorize here or try it down by their own. So it lasted throughout times. For example, the Bible lasted, the New Testament at least, 2,000 years. Now, how many debates about words that are not accurate or words are lost from the Bible? There is some debates about some verses. The debates is around 20 verses only. 20 verses from the entire New Testament. And it's not about the words, it's about the meaning of the words. From the 27 books of the New Testament lasting 2,000 years. Let's talk about Shakespeare, who wrote 37 writings. You know how many pieces are lost, and there's debates about his writings? It's about 100 pieces of his writings. And that's only 200 something years. So things get lost. The Bible was not lost. It lasted. Persecution. A lot of times emperors banned reading the Bible and burned the Bible and went after the people who write the Bible and persecuted them and burned them. Something very funny. You know, the French writer Voltaire, who died in 1778, he declared that in 100 years from his time, Christianity would be swept from existence and passed into history. Only after 50 years of his death, the Geneva Bible Society used Voltaire's press and house to produce stacks of Bibles. So the Bible overlasted emperors and writers and criticism. Many criticism from different people, from philosophers, from scientists. You know how many theories about the Bible that is not accurate was said about the Bible and deluded many people, and then God in a miraculous way proves the opposite. For example, somebody said that, well, there is no way that Moses wrote the 5 books of Torah, because writing started after Moses, not before. There was no right, people did not know how to write back then. And then the Hammurabi law, they discovered that there was writing and people knew how to writing 3 centuries before Moses. A new theory that lasted even till very recently, that the Gospel of John was written in like 2nd century. until they founded a manuscripts that goes back to the first century or the beginning of the second century. So there is no way that the Gospel of John was written in the second or the beginning of the third century. Jericho's walls, they said that this has never happened. Where are the remnants of Jericho's walls until it was discovered also recently? Many discoveries like this. The Bible overlasted many criticism from different people, but now the Bible is purely accurate scientifically and historically 100%, not only because there is nothing against the science or against the history, but also because of other reasons that we will mention too. The Bible is so unique in its teachings. A lot of people prophesied things. Different people prophesied different things. How many of these prophecies were fulfilled? None, or very few. But all the prophecies of the Old Testament were happened, and exactly we will discuss this, and we'll bring some prophecies next time. The coming of the Savior. Basically, in history, the Bible is the history of the Jews, if you want to put it this way, right? If you just want to use it as a history book, it's the history of the Jews. How come there is no other book in history about Indians or about any kind of people who lived long time ago that was very accurate, that recorded history over thousands of years? There is no other book in history that goes year by year, king by king. You can go to the genealogy of Christ. Thank you very much. The genealogy of Christ, generation by generation, one person by another, by name. Where is this could be found in any kind of history in the world? There is nothing. This is extremely unique. And in character, what kind of book would you find in history that every single writer writes about his sins more than his righteousness? Matthew, when he was a collector, and David and his sin, and Moses and his sin, and Abraham, what kind of book that writes things like this about their own writers? If the Bible was not an accurate Bible, or as some people said, it was distorted or was changed. Well, if the Jews, for example, would modify the Bible, make it look a little bit better, they would delete at least the sin of David. Do you know that? They never used to read it. They could not read it in the synagogues because it's so hard. They could have deleted these things and made it a little bit nicer or look a little bit better, but it's not. It's very unique in its teaching. The Bible is very unique in its influence on literature. Someone said, if we lose the entire Bible, we can get it together from any city's library. Just go to the library of any city and get different books, and you will find quotations and references and influence from the Bible in a lot of books that you can get the Bible together. Of course, it influenced the writings of many, many, many people and the writings in general. The Bible is unique in its influence on civilization. Who taught people freedom, liberty? Americans? No. But America was built on Christian values. That's why a lot from the Constitution is just biblical teachings. It did affect civilization more in the West even than the East, because a lot of countries in the West started after the Bible and after the New Testament, so it started on the right foot. A lot of other countries, the old countries, started long time ago and they had their own civilization. But the new countries, especially the Western countries, a lot of them were built on the influence of the Bible. Then we did not prove the Bible is the Word of God from that. But even if it's not the Word of God, the Bible is still superiorly unique than any other book in history. And as I said, whatever thing is unique, you know, most probably it belongs to God. A professor told his skeptical student, if you are an intelligent person, you will read the one book that has drawn more attention than any other if you are searching for the truth. We know the Bible is a good book, it's the Word of God, but we need to know these facts so we can say them to other people. Okay? How did we get the Bible? First, how the Bible was written. If you went with us to the trip to Egypt a couple years ago, we learned about how the papyrus were made. The papyrus is a plant that grows in Egypt and Syria only, and it goes all around the world, and it used to be very expensive. It's a plant where they cut it small, very thin slices. They put it perpendicular to each other. They dry them, they press them, then they become very hard. The papyrus can stay for hundreds of years. The oldest papyrus ever in the world goes back to year 2400 before Christ. And it's only if it's kept in a dry weather. That's why a lot of papyrus were lost. The ones were found, most of them were found in the deserts of Egypt, because it was very dry and it could keep the papyrus for many years. So they would dry them, and they would dry it with many inks, and they can write also in something called parchment, which is goat and sheep skins, you know, they write on them. So they would last even more than the papyrus, but it's more and more expensive. St. Paul wrote about the parchments to his disciple Timothy when he told him, do not forget to bring other books, especially the parchments. And the calf skins also is one kind of paper or material they used to write in. They used to write on clay or tablets or wood or wax. And that's how the pieces were found. The books back then, they weren't used to be books as we see them, but used to be a scroll. It's two wooden rods. And then they roll them together, and they can roll as long as 144 foot together, and it's a big stack, it's like the engineering drawings, things like this, and they keep them in a dry place, as I said. So it's called the scrolls. Later on, they used to put it in just pages, one page after the other, so they can write on two sides. The Bible that we see is divided into books, chapters, and verses. Well, it was not written this way. It was written all one text, and later on it was distributed or split into chapters. Actually, the first time the Bible was split into chapters was in 350 AD, But these chapters also changed, and the way it was done changed in the 13th century by the Archbishop of Canterbury, and it's the same way we have it now. And it has to be divided into one system, so when you do cross-reference and when you refer anything, you know where you want. You cannot use different systems in the Bible. Otherwise, some people say Matthew 4:3 here something, and in another country or another way, it's something different. So it's one way that was done in the 13th century, and the verses also was done later on in the 16th century by Oxford professor. So the Bible was written, small books, people used to hand them, people used to use them to read in churches. But who decided to put the Bible together, especially the New Testament, into 27 books and put it in one book and say, this is the New Testament? Who decided? Like, for example, in the first century, for example, the churches in the first century, did they have the Gospel of St. John? Didn't. Gospel of St. John was the end of first century, 95 AD. So it wasn't complete. Second century, do you think that the Gospel of John spread all over that fast to go everywhere and people would collect all of these and Paul's letter and all of this? No. It was collected in different times. These letters and these books were used by the churches with many other books and writings. And then around the third century and the fourth century, the fathers of the church, one of them is Saint Athanasius, you know, started to write in his letters, festal letters, about these are only the holy books, the scripture of God. And actually, there was a council that was done, and all the fathers of the church at that time agreed that these all the inspired word of God, and this is the Bible. So they put it together, and they said, you know, this is the word of God, and this is what should be read in the churches. Of course, back then, there is many writings by the different fathers, but the Bible was and is still very unique, very different amongst all of them. There is 2 points are left for next time. How do we know that the New Testament we have now was the same New Testament in the first century and the second century? How do we know that? We have something called the manuscripts. Next time I'll talk to you about the manuscripts. The Old Testament, is it reliable? Is it really the word of God that was written more than 2,000 years ago? And how do we know? And what do the Jews say about the Old Testament? And what do we say about the Old Testament? And how it's scientifically and historically very, very accurate. And if we don't have any manuscripts, if we have zero manuscripts, what about if we say all the manuscripts are just, they're not right, even though they're very old and they're all over the world? There is many other ways that you can get the Bible together in a very accurate way, very scientific way, that no other one, no one can say that this is not true. There is no way. Anyone who's in research or in science or in history can by no means say that the Bible is hoax or not true or was not there 2,000 years ago. That's not scientific, not anymore. Thank God for the science. Thank God for the technology. Thank God for the research. Thank God for America, because it's behind all these researches and the work that was done to say scientifically that the Bible is accurate and true 100%, whether from Christian or secular it's a science. It's not anymore religion. The Bible now is a very important document. And as you see, we're in a very a world of criticism. Do you think anyone can say anything and they tell him, you know, oh yeah, you're accurate or you're right or no? That's historically right and correct. Even the science, geography, history, say that the Bible is the true word of God, or the true book that was there 2,000 years ago. And of course the uniqueness of the Bible says that it is the true word of God like no other book in history. Put aside all the books you have, and I think we should feel the shame sometimes when we take masters and PhD and read and write books, and they were still ignorant about the most unique book in history. Forget about religion. Forget about spirituality. Don't you want to read something that's very unique, that's different than anything else? That's praised by people and historians and philosophers, and the book that influenced more lives than any other book. A lot of times we need to focus on the Bible, the Word of God, and to believe that it has its power to change. Okay? So we'll continue the subject. We're not done yet. We'll continue next time about the manuscripts and the Old Testament and the New Testament and the writings of the fathers. Any question for now? Okay, let's pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Lord, we thank you for keeping your promises, for keeping your words for us till now. We thank you because your words are life and they are truth. They are not ink and paper, Lord, but they are life. And we're sure, Lord, if we even lost the papers and we don't have the Bible now, we can find it alive in the life of so many people who loved you and who are living by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we know that we are filled with your Holy Spirit when we are guided by your words, when we appreciate them, when we live by them, when our life is influenced by your words. Let your words cleanse us, Lord, as you said to your disciples, purify us. Let your words give us the thoughts of Christ, as St. Paul said. Let the word, your word, Lord, sanctify us. As St. Peter said, that everything is sanctified by the word. Forgive us, Lord, for being slothful in keeping your words. Lord, you told us very plainly, if you love me, you keep my words. Give us to keep your words, Lord, in our hearts, in our minds. Meditate on them day and night. Give it to be for us, Lord, the food that does not perish. And no matter what the devil and what the criticism about your words, Lord, let this never influence us. Keeps us strong in our faith, Lord, that has been delivered once by the saints. Bless us all, Lord, with all spiritual blessings. Let your word dwell in us richly, through the prayers, intercession of our Holy Mother, St. Mary, St. Mark, and all your saints. Hear us, Lord, when we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from evil. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for I am the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. And now may the love of God the Father, the grace of His only begotten Son, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Depart in peace. May the peace of God be with you all.